The future of the most powerful gun lobby in the country is at stake. Late last week, the National Rifle Association held its annual meeting in Indianapolis, and a long simmering fight among NRA leadership exploded into full view. It started on Wednesday when the NRA president Oliver North urged CEO Wayne LaPierre to step down over alleged financial improprieties. LaPierre, in response, accused President Oliver North of extortion, and it was North who ultimately announced he would not seek a second term. Here's a letter read at the NRA convention on Saturday on his behalf.
Please know, I hope to be with you today as NRA president, endorsed for re-election. I'm now informed that that will not happen.
Question around the group's finances have also attracted the attention of New York State's Attorney General Letitia James at a time when the NRA is already running low on cash. And despite President Trump's support, subpoenas have been served and the NRA's nonprofit status and its future financial viability are now at stake. It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Mark Mayermont is a Wall Street Journal senior editor, and he's been following all of this. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
And A.J. Somerset is the author of Arms, The Culture and Credo of the Gun. Thanks for joining us, A.J.
Well, thank you.
Mark, let's get started with you. Wayne LaPierre is a name that some people might recognize. Oliver North, maybe for some younger Americans, not so much. Can you remind us who these folks are and what role they play in the NRA?
Wayne LaPierre has been the face of the NRA for close to 30 years. He's the CEO, and he's generally credited with helping turn the organization from kind of a grassroots gun safety organization into a huge political advocacy group with enormous amounts of political power. Oliver North, who recently was the president of the NRA for about a year, was a retired Marine lieutenant colonel who played a role in the Iran-Contra scandal during the Reagan administration, and has since become kind of a folk hero of the right, talk radio, and then a Fox News pundit, but also a very high-profile public figure in the conservative movement.
Mark, we saw a pretty public leadership shakeup at the NRA's annual meeting last week. What happened?
It was like something out of Shakespeare or the Borgias from Florence. There was allegations of petty corruption in a certain way, of extortion, sort of infighting over money, and Oliver North eventually resigned in a power struggle with the NRA CEO, Mr. LaPierre.
AJ, this is all happening at the level of NRA leadership so far, but LaPierre was unanimously reelected by the NRA board on Monday, so obviously he has the NRA board's support. But what about NRA members? Where do they stand?
Well, I think NRA members themselves are split. I think there's some concern in the membership as to the direction the NRA has been taking, and concern that it's become more about partisan politics than about gun rights. And, you know, certain in the membership would like it to get back purely to gun rights. And they're concerned at the amount of money that's being spent, I think, on ventures like NRA TV and the possibility that the organization is going to go bankrupt if it continues in this way.
AJ, is that sort of part of what Mark described earlier, which was Wayne LaPierre's influence on the organization, was taking it from this grassroots gun rights organization and making it more of a political machine. So is that sort of turning off NRA members?
Well, I think for some NRA members, it is. For others, it is not. And I think that the pro-LaPierre faction within the membership is stronger. That's why the vote of no confidence in LaPierre was referred to the board. The members could have prevented that if there had been enough of them.
So, Mark, at the end of 2017, the NRA reported a negative, almost $32 million balance in unrestricted assets. That's a 10-year low for the organization. Why do they seem to be running low on money?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a very, you know, large organization, one of the richest nonprofits. They get revenue of over $300 million a year. But in a sort of irony, I think that the election of President Trump, which they worked hard to bring about, actually reduced the threat of more gun control under a new Democratic Clinton administration. And so members get less worried and less exercised. And so membership levels and contributions have dropped off. And that's created, you know, a budgetary crunch at the organization. I wouldn't say it's a major crisis.
Mark, tell us about this advertising firm, Ackerman McQueen. What's their relationship been like with the NRA in the past?
It's hard to overstate how close these organizations have been over the last 35 years. I mean, this advertising firm, which is based in Oklahoma City, is along with Wayne LaPierre. In fact, they're credited in certain ways with creating or bringing along Wayne LaPierre as a face of the NRA. They're by far the largest vendor of the NRA. They produce NRA TV. They produce a magazine. They do a lot of advertising. They have a public relations arm. They got over $5 million from the NRA. They got more than $43 million from the NRA in 2017, which is the most recent publicly available year. So it's almost intertwined with the NRA for many years. So it's extraordinary that they've broken with the NRA, or the NRA has broken with them in recent weeks.
Mm. What influence could that have over the NRA? Would that affect their tax-exempt status, Mark?
The NRA in the recent weeks has actually sued the Ackerman McQueen, claiming they haven't given them records, that billing records and that sort of thing. So that's obviously an unusual break. The tax-exempt status is certainly not affected by that particular situation.
I want to go back, though, for a second, Mark. We know that the NRA's relationship with this organization doesn't threaten their tax-exempt status, but Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, is investigating the NRA. What do we know about her goals here?
Well, Letitia James is kind of a crusading attorney general. She's just elected. And during the campaign, she actually called the NRA a criminal organization and a terrorist organization, I believe that was the phrase, and vowed that she would look into their tax-exempt status. So I think that the NRA has been concerned that she might go after them. I should note that the NRA, which was formed in the 19th century, has been a New York registered corporation or nonprofit, and therefore New York has regulatory power over the NRA. And that, I think, is what the concern is in the NRA, is that she could do all manner of harm to the group, or at least cause a lot of trouble with this investigation.
We also know, Mark, that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has also had the NRA in his crosshairs. Tell us a little bit about his approach.
So the NRA put out an insurance product called CarryGuard, which allowed people to buy insurance just in case they gunned someone down. They could claim it was done in self-defense. And Cuomo and the New York regulators went after the group and essentially forced this product to be recalled in New York. And the NRA is now suing New York and Cuomo, claiming that their First Amendment rights were violated in the course of this whole matter by Cuomo and other New York officials telling financial services firms to stop doing business, or that they should look carefully at stopping doing business with the NRA because of reputational concerns. So there's a big lawsuit going on in New York at the same time that Letitia James is investigating the NRA. So it's kind of like a two-pronged battle going on now.
AJ, has the NRA seen anything like this in their past in terms of the both crisis of leadership that's happening right now and the sort of financial issues that they're facing and almost this crisis of identity within the organization?
Well, I don't know if they've seen anything like this in the financial sense before, but they have seen a revolt from the membership before in 1977, the revolt in Cincinnati, which was the main event that transformed the NRA from a group that was primarily concerned with sporting use of firearms into an organization that was mostly concerned now with self-defense and Second Amendment advocacy. And that was an occasion when what happened was the membership deposed the leadership of the NRA and replaced it. So this has happened before, and the difference this time is that the revolt has been unsuccessful.
Mark, your thoughts on that. Where does the NRA go from here, and what other systemic issues do they have to address in order to stay viable?
Well, I think that the NRA is confronted at this point. I mean, this investigation by the New York Attorney General, I think, is quite serious. They take it quite seriously. I mean, she could force officers and directors to resign. She could force them to claw back compensation. And the group has essentially left itself open to this sort of thing because there are internal allegations, including by Oliver North's group and Ackerman McQueen, that NRA insiders have essentially profited off the group. And the nonprofit is supposed to be run for the benefit of members, not for the benefit of insiders. And, you know, some people have called it kind of a grifting culture. So they've left themselves open to this, and they believe that there's a essentially existential threat to the organization. But at the moment, they've essentially circled the wagons around Wayne LaPierre, who was one of the ones accused, among other things, of taking several hundred thousand dollars in free wardrobe suits and that sort of thing from a vendor. And, you know, they're going to try to tough it out.
Mark Mearmont is a Wall Street Journal senior editor, and A.J. Somerset is the author of Arms, The Culture and Credo of the Gun. Thanks to you both for walking us through this.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The Takeaway reached out to the NRA for comment on this story, and we're still waiting to hear back. And we've been hearing from current and former NRA members here on The Takeaway. Why did you join the organization, and how much do you think it's changed over time?
This is John from Tampa, Florida. I am a former member of the NRA. I belonged back in my high school days and through my 20s. In those days, it had a great magazine and supported hunters across America. I don't believe that is their primary function any longer. Maybe they continue to do good things, but what those good things are hidden behind their current agenda.
This is Scooter McGee from Bailey, Mississippi, and yes, I am a member of the NRA. A lifetime member. I joined because the Democrats failed to understand the Constitution. The organization has changed. It's become a little softer with more compromises, which is a bad deal. I don't think they should give an inch.
This is Cliff from Davie, Florida. I was in the NRA. I joined to support the defense of the Second Amendment. They do not fight hard enough against the politicians that constantly try to take away our right to keep and bear arms against them. It is ridiculous that we even have to fight to protect this right. Repeal the National Firearms Act and support the Freedom of Protection Act.
This is Scooter McGee from Bailey, Mississippi, and yes, I am a member of the NRA, a lifetime member. I joined because the Democrats failed to understand the Constitution. The organization has changed. It's become a little softer with more compromises, which is a bad deal. I don't think they should give an inch.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.